me to the book of Luke, the 24th chapter. I'm going to deal with some other verses of Scripture just prior to that. About 3 weeks ago, I endeavored to preach this message, and I'm wearing this dull-looking tie. So to remind you of the road to Emmaus, and this kind of depicts the week prior to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But I'm glad that we have a King that knows our every need and reaches out to us in every way. The title of my message was, Can You Hear Me Now? Or I'd like to simply just modify it, Are You Listening? Whether we realize it or not, all through the Scriptures, there is many Scriptures that talk to us about hearing what God is saying and how vital it is for clear communication. Amos chapter 8, verse number 11, gives us a clear view of where we are in our world today. He said, Behold, the day come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but for hearing. Somebody say hearing. Hearing of the Word of God. Hearing is critical. And we're living in an age and a time where it seems like that people are paying very little of attention to what's going on around about them.
Amen.
I struggle sometimes going down the road and I see people with earphones on or earbuds on driving, and they are totally unconscious about what's going on around about them. And part of the time it's me that's around about them. Okay? Understand what I'm saying? It's hard when you want to communicate with somebody and they say, wait just a minute, I got to take these out before... I wonder if God feels that way about us.
Yeah.
When he's trying to talk to us and we've got either earphones on or what do they call them, earbuds? And we struggle to hear what God's trying to tell us. I cannot communicate with you enough to let you know that hearing what God is saying is critical. It's critical in our time, in our age, where we are in the technology. I read a story not too long ago about a little boy that was very hesitant to listen to his mom and dad, and they got into a habit of telling him something, and they'd count to three. One, two, three, you better pay attention, you better listen. And they'd give him to the count of three before he had to respond. And one day he was out playing near the road, and he started toward the road, and they counted to three. On the exception, he was in the road and got run over before they got to three. How critical is it when that fellow that's sitting there in the control room with his thumb on the nuclear button for the other person on the other end of the line to make clear communication? Vitally. Vitally important, wouldn't you say? There are certain words that they use to give in clear communication in terms like that, such as negativity or negative or affirmative. It's not just, huh? But clear communication. Understanding, again, all through the Word of God. Then bear with me, I'm going to get into the message. And I'm so glad that you're here today. But the lack of listening and hearing does something to our mentality. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 14, and I'm not going to read all of these, but it talks about the people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing. So understand that a hard heart, people's hearts are waxed gross, a hard heart leads one to deafness. Somebody preach with me a little bit this morning, okay? In Acts chapter 28, It tells us in verse 27, for the people's heart have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. So with that passage of Scripture, how many believes the Bible?
Amen.
That a callous heart causes hard of hearing. Verse 28 of that passage of Scripture says, therefore I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. Speaking against the Jews that have turned their hearts away from God and no longer listening. And now God's reached out to the Gentiles, and we are the worst of the worst of not listening to what God's saying. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 9, he that turneth away his ears from hearing the law, even his prayers shall be an abomination, that which God hates. If he turns away from hearing, to refuse to listen becomes a disgrace on our part. Luke chapter 11, we're not to the shouting part yet, but that's all right. We'll get there. Luke chapter 11, he tells us in verses 27 and 28 that it is better that there was a woman in the crowd. He was speaking and talking to the people around about him. And there was a lady in the crowd, perhaps a mother. It says, blessed is the mother who gives birth and nurses them. And Jesus said, but it's better rather than those that hear the word of God and obey it. It's crucial for a mother to nurse her baby and bring it to maturity, right? But he said it's better for those that will hear the word of God and obey it.
Amen.
One who hears the word of God and is obedient will be blessed. Hello?
Amen.
Paul had a lot to say about listening and hearing what God was saying. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, as seen we are dull of hearing. Paul had a lot to say about that, but because they would not listen, he said, I'm wasting my breath. I wonder if God feels like he's wasting his breath on us sometimes. He's got so much to say to us, and yet we have so little time to hear what he's saying. Mark 4 and 9, and he said unto them, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. He that hath an ear, if you're able to hear, one better listen and pay attention. It is so crucial. It was so crucial. It was so vital that every one of the letters at the churches in Asia, the seven of them, every one of them had an ending message to them that hath an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. One who listens will be blessed. James chapter 1 verses 19 through 25. I'll let you read that later. James chapter 1 verses 19 through 25. One who listens and acts upon it, what he hears will be blessed. We've all heard the saying, and you got a little bit of this a few weeks ago, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. That's what the investment broker said, and that's how it was related in their ad. And I told you this before as well, but some of you perhaps wasn't here, so I'll tell you again. Paul McCarley was a test man who his character in the commercial for Verizon Wireless in the early 2000s, his catchphrase was, can you hear me now? How many remembers that? Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Can anybody hear me now? Making sure that the person on the other end of the line was getting good reception, being able to hear the message loud and clear. They didn't have earbuds in. Paul is now working for T-Mobile. My question is, and I repeat it, maybe Paul never got anyone to listen from Verizon aspect, so he went to T-Mobile. God went from the Jews to the Gentiles so they'd listen, and now the Gentiles ain't listening. I wonder if he'll move to someone else because we're not listening. First off, I want you to know that I love studying the Bible together, especially on our Wednesday night services. And if you haven't been a part of that, I want to encourage you to come. Brother Chris brings new light each Wednesday night on the Scriptures and leads us to an open understanding of the Scriptures. But I can also tell you that there's nothing any more enlightening than to read the Bible on our own and have the Holy Spirit to open up our eyes to see something new. But if we're not still enough, we're not reading enough, we're not going to get that enlightenment. There's nothing more in our life in that relationship with Jesus Christ that's more inspiring. As the Spirit deepens our understanding, as we learn new ways to apply God's Word to the principles of our everyday life. Hello? How many wants to grow in Jesus? The Gospels show that Jesus Himself loved to teach about the Scriptures. And how the Old Testament, listen to me closely, how the Old Testament is a revelation of how we should live in our life today. A fella, in the early 400 ADs, Augustine said, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Let me explain that. That simply means that the Old Testament was the prophetic voice before the New Testament was written. And when the writers of the New Testament came along, they brought to life what the Old Testament writers seen of God's plan before it happened. And the New Testament brought revelation to the Old Testament. So as we look into those Scriptures today, and we see how Christ talked to the men going to the little town of Emmaus, and how He opened the Scriptures and He brought them the plan that they had for them, because they didn't understand. Like I said, the week prior to what has happened here on the road to Emmaus, the week prior to that was devastating to the disciples. There was so much that went on. Jesus had talked to His disciples. Jesus had supper with the disciples, what we know as the Last Supper with the disciples. He had talked to them. He had ministered to them. He had ministered to others. He had ministered and healed people around about Him. He told His disciples that, I've got to be crucified. I'll be put to death. And they all said, hey, we're going to stick with you through thick and thin no matter what. And it was Peter said that no matter what happens to you, Jesus, I'll be with you to the very end. If I have to die with you or die for you, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And we find out that every one of the disciples did exactly the opposite. So I wonder, was they not listening? Was they not listening to what was being said? Or did they have so much going on in their lives like we do today that they just could not grasp what was going on? I'm wondering today, church, and again, so vital. There is so much happening in our world today. We do not realize how close it is for the trumpet to sound. I don't want not a one of you to be so busy you can't hear the trumpet sound. As we get a little bit older, our hearing does fail us some. Hello? I can't hear you say amen like I used to, so you're going to have to do it louder. If I have my phone in my front pocket and I'm in the crowd wherever, Diane calls me, 9 times out of 10 I can't hear. And when I do get to my phone, she said, did you not hear your phone ring? No. And so I think that's the way it is with Jesus. The longer we walk with Him, the more dull our hearing gets. We don't necessarily do it intentionally. Now, Sister Diane thinks I do it intentionally, Brother Steve. But I don't do it intentionally. I really don't. And we get accused, guys, of having selective hearing, right? Can you hear me now? But I wonder, again, it's so vital and so crucial. There is things that's happening in our world today that should give us an absolute recognition that things are about to come about. They're about ready to transpire. They're about ready to be fulfilled. I mean, it's to a point that a blind man can see and a deaf man can hear. Can I use that word, deafening? It is so apparent in our world today. From the Middle East to Asia, in the United States of America, we are seeing prophecy fulfilled at such a rate. And things are coming together so uniquely that we need to be paying special attention and we need to be hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to us. I told you, and I started out in this message to let you know that it is critical to listen to what God's Word is saying. And if we don't listen, it jeopardizes our own personal being and our own spiritual being. If we do listen to what God is saying and we act upon that, it will be a blessing to us. He will bless us. But we've got to be tentative to what God is saying, especially in this hour that we're living in. I said, we got to be tentative to what God is saying, especially. You say, well, I'm not hearing what God's saying in this world that we're living in. That's why it's important, if we're not able to in our spiritual walk with God, to hear what God's saying even in the Scripture, it's imperative that you come to the house of God every time the church house doors open, because God is speaking through His leaders into your ears to let you know how to walk, how to talk, what to do, and how to listen to God. It's imperative on even Wednesday night service that you come and hear the Word of God. It's imperative, church, that we're together in one mind, in one accord. We're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. It's imperative, folks. It's imperative. That's exactly why He said, when you see the coming of the Lord getting closer, you don't need to come but once or twice a month. Can you hear me now? That's why the Scripture says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. When you see these things happening, you need to come to the house of God even more than you have in the past.
Amen.
We've got to come more. We've got to be around God's people. That's how we become an overcomer, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the word of our testimony is when we're like those, around those of like precious faith, that we glean from each other's strength. We glean from each other's experiences. We glean because we are a part of the family of God. And it's imperative that we hear what God is saying to the church today. And He uses pastors. He uses evangelists. He uses teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. That's what the Scriptures say. So it's imperative. It's imperative. So a lot of stuff has happened prior to this week. Early that morning, Mary and a couple of the other ladies had run to the tomb. They had prepared an ointment to help preserve the stinkiness of the body after it had died, and they had run to the tomb where Jesus was buried, and they got there, the stone was rolled away, there was no body inside, and they seen an angel of the Lord, and the angel told them, said, why do you seek the living among the dead? That would have been startling enough. They have to understand, we've read the story, we know what the story says, but these women was experiencing the story. Did you know, are you listening to me now? Did you know that God's got new things for you to experience right now? And the only way you're going to experience them is get along with God, be in God's house together, listening to what God is saying. God's got a new experience for you every time you meet with Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Y'all need to be a little bit more attentive. Some of you may not know everything that I'm saying, but it's kind of like the service was in last night. I couldn't understand everything the preacher was saying, but I could certainly tell when the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. I mean, I could feel it, Brother Aaron. Sister Snow, I note it. Hello? Y'all don't know what that word means? I know what I know. We all have different languages and dialects and accents. And sometimes I have to be careful with mine. Chris and Brian tells me I can tear up the King's English just like that, nothing flat. But I've got to understand what the Spirit is saying beyond anything else. And though I could not understand every word that they was saying, especially most words that they was saying, unless the interpreter was interpreting, but I could tell when the Spirit of God really began to move. I could feel it. I could see it. And there was a lot going on. A lot going on in this day. And they went back and they told the disciples. And the disciples, like, man, this was weird to them. Read the scriptures. That's what it says. They couldn't believe it. It kind of blew their mind. They was totally taken back. And some of them jumped up and ran to the tomb. And what was so captivated me is while the rest of them stopped on the outside, Peter ran on the inside. Remember, it was Peter that was so adamant about, Lord, I'll be with you no matter what. Huh? So anyway, they kind of went about their day, and then these two disciples was taking a trip to Emmaus. So where we are today, well, that was a large introduction, wasn't it? In Luke chapter 24, he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one with another as you walk and are sad? Verse 17 of chapter 24 of Luke, Jesus comes alongside them as they're walking down the road towards Emmaus, and they're talking, they're visiting, trying to tell each other or explain to each other or trying to get the best out of what in the world's going on. One of them said to the other, whose name was Cleophas, answering and said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the day, the things which have come to pass therein these days? And he said unto them, what things? He wasn't asking the question for himself. I want you to understand something right now. Jesus wasn't asking that question because he didn't know. He was asking that question on their behalf. And sometimes Jesus asks us questions, and it's not for his benefit, but it's for yours. That you might stir up your mind, that you might dig. That sometimes it's imperative that we need to struggle with things in our life so that we come to a better understanding. And when he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him and condemned him to death and then crucified. But we trusted, somebody say, we trusted, that it had been he which would have and should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which was went early to the sepulchre, and they found not his body. And they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, the women had said, but they did not see him. And then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered those things and entered into his glory? It behooves you and I. Again, let me remind you that these are experiencing it for the first time. You and I have read the story hundreds of times. We've heard it preached hundreds of times. We've experienced the blessings of God hundreds of times. There should not be a one individual in this place that has not experienced the blessings of God to know that God is real. And yet, we too are slow of heart to believe what he's saying, that he's coming back. I said he's coming back. So beginning with Moses, he began to expound to them the scriptures. I'm so glad that he's concerned about us enough as he began to bring about to them the scriptures. They drew nigh into the village. I know I'm going slow, but I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. I want you to learn to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And you know, even if it takes me the rest of the day, we're going to have the pie option tonight, and they're having Frito pies afterwards, and who doesn't like Frito pies? So if I go a little longer, just know that you'll get a Frito pie later on this evening anyway. When they was drawing nigh to the village, and Jesus supposed that he would went on a little further. I absolutely love this. Brother Larry was talking about this the other day. He talked like he was going on a little farther. In verse 29 it said, but they constrained him. You need to get that. They said, won't you abide with us? It's getting toward evening. The day is far spent. And they constrained him. They constrained him to stay with them. We have a Sunday night service. And we can't wait to get out to go to Freddy's, Teddy's, or whoever, because we want the fellowship over Jesus' fellowship. I done told you fellowship's important. It ain't nothing important more than Jesus' fellowship. They constrained him. That word literally constrained means to grasp tightly. Hello? Amen. To grasp tightly. Do you know that Jesus wants you to constrain him? To stay with us? To speak to us? To let your will be done? Man, we've been having some awesome services around here. Amen. Sunday before last was absolutely awesome. Last Sunday and Sunday night was absolutely awesome. But you know what? God doesn't get tired of being with you and around you and ministering to you. They constrained him. When they constrained him, Jesus began to open the scriptures to them. And what inspires me, church, in that verse of scripture, they constrained him to tell them more. They were so intrigued, somebody say intrigued, that they convinced him to stay a little longer and even spend the night. This is why our worship is so important. He dwells in the habitants of the praises and the worship of his people. Why my concern, church, is that we no longer tarry. Jesus is fortunate if we even show up. Not if he does. He does. Jesus is fortunate if we even show up for church, let alone that we constrain him. It's more than our schedule has time for. Come on, don't sit on me, okay? I'll come and sit on your lap if you do. I'm trying to help you here. It may be different, but I'm trying to help you here. Okay? It's just not in our schedule to constrain Jesus to be with us and stay with us, let alone for us to desire for him to abide with us and go home with us. The question really isn't, can you hear me now, but are you listening to me now? Are you tarrying long enough? Are you tarrying long enough to hear what he is saying. One of the first things that Jesus did after being raised from the dead was to open the scriptures and explain to the travelers going to Emmaus the things that they had experienced concerning what this had meant about who he was and what he was to do with them. How many of us have to be knocked in the head before we get it? What length does your wife have to go mend before you get the message to take out the trash? Just saying. Do we have to be knocked in the head before we get the message? I probably need to say that again, don't I? What does your wife have to go through to get you to understand what take out the trash means? I didn't go over no better the second time than the first. I understand. I felt the check. Conviction was settling in on some of you. Okay. So I'm going to come to a conclusion of this message. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be a 5-minute conclusion. But I want you to understand. Most situations in our lives require quite a crisis before we will stop and listen and observe and realize what's going on. First Kings chapter 19 began with verse number 11 concerning Elijah. He went out to stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. Man. He went out to stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by, and he still didn't get it. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the fire. And the Lord was just in a gentle whisper in a voice. And he spoke to Elijah. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled the cloak up over his face and went out and stood in the mouth of a cave. Can I ask you today, church, could we hear God because of all the noise that is around about us? Are we hard of hearing because we are listening to too much that's going around about us? Can I tell you, it was Elijah's personal issue that overrode his ability to hear God. What was his issue that it inhabited his ability to hearing what God was saying? He was worried about Ahab and Jezebel. He was worried about the situation. He was pouting that he was the only one left in the area that ever heard from God. And God said, I've got thousands down here that has not bowed their knee to Baal. Listen, sometimes we are so overwhelmed with the noise around about us that we don't stop to listen to what God is saying. And that was good preaching material right there, church. This is where it gets in the way. Elijah's personal issues, our personal issues, can get in the way. Then in Numbers chapter 22, verses 21 through, I'm giving you some examples. Balaam got up early in the morning. Make a long story short, Balak, king of Israel, the king of Salem, I believe it was, had asked Balaam, a prophet of God, that he would give him a reward. He would give him money. He would give him jewels, whatever it may be. He might give him an oil well from that era. I don't know what it was, but he would give him a reward if he would curse Israel. And God already told Balaam, said, you cannot curse that which I've already blessed. But the reward got bigger in Balaam's eyes than the promises of God in his heart. And he listened more to Balak then he listened to God. And we all know the story. The angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path. Balaam's donkey got really smart and started talking to him. Church, this is scary. Balaam's donkey had more spiritual perception than Balaam did. Hello? He did not need Verizon or T-Mobile. He was connected. He seen. He heard. He knew. He had more spiritual perception than Balaam did. And Balaam was a prophet. He beat his little donkey merciless. His little donkey turned around at him and said, Balaam, have I not been faithful to carry you wherever you wanted to go? Have I not been faithful to be where you needed me to be? And you're beating me? Now this is how blind and how deaf he got. He started talking to the donkey before he even realized it. The first clue in your life that you're spiritual out of tune with God is when you start talking to your donkey instead of listening to God. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that we start debating our emotions instead of listening to God's word.